Chapter 20. Zara. A light blooms in the darkness ahead, brightening the oppressive tunnel like a beacon in the night. After so many hours in the dark, the brilliance ahead is almost blinding, a pure beam compared to their wavering torchlight. Our weary band trudges silently toward the exit, horses plodding beside us, hooves clopping loudly on the stone. Beside me, Owen squints, trying to discern something from the tiny yet powerful speck of light.
"Must be morning," he says, voice hushed.
"How can you tell?" I ask, just as quietly.
"We've been walking generally northwest," he explains. "It doesn't seem bright enough for us to be heading into direct sunlight, which means the sun must still be in the eastern portion of the sky. We've been down here for more than a day, but not any longer than that." He shrugs. "It's common sense."
I think about this for a moment. The light seems plenty bright to me.
"That's because you're a mage," he replies, a wry half-smile forming on his face. "It's hard to get to know the sun when you've got your nose buried in a book all day."
I playfully punch his arm. "That's what we have rangers for. To tell us interesting facts that don't really matter much in the end." He grins, and the two of us continue our walk, inexorably making our way with the others toward the tunnel's exit. We'd spent the previous night underground, resting on the cold stone, while the horses ate and drank what little hay and water we'd brought with us. Owen spent most of that time alone, whittling a small piece of wood, and quietly brooding away from the group. The close confines of the tunnel made it difficult to sleep, every noise echoing loudly off the rough walls, and the lack of bedding making it impossible to get comfortable. "Thank the light we're almost out," I think, focusing on the brightness in front of us. "I'm not sure I could stomach another night in this tunnel. Too claustrophobic." The cave-like floor begins to slope upward, and eventually we reach the yawning tunnel entrance, a door of thick iron bars blocking our path. The door reminds me of the entrance of a prison cell. One of the mages, a man named Alvin, makes short work of the lock with a flare of mage fire, then pushes the door open a second later. The rusted hinges grind out a metallic screech, and we step out into the welcome daylight, breathing deep of the fresh air. When our eyes adjust, I find that we're at the base of a hill, surrounded by a small village, which I assume to be Steading. The surrounding area is overgrown with weeds and choked with piles of broken stone, a rock quarry, if I don't miss my guess. As we shuffle out of the tunnel, everyone looks to Owen and me for direction. The mages, stoic in their blue robes, pause expectantly, while the desert youths in their mismatched armor cluster around us. Shrugging, I motion for us to continue up the road. Steading appears to have been completely abandoned. Houses sit empty and bare, doors and windows open to the elements, and refuse litters the streets, detritus that the villagers couldn't take with them on their flight to the capital. We silently make our way through the village, a somber feeling on the too warm breeze. How many communities are like this throughout Tarsinium, I wonder? Ghost towns, utterly desolate. If Asmodeus has his way, then this will be the future. No one will come here to resettle. It's a chilling thought, and I find it difficult to relax until the settlement is far behind us. Just as Owen predicted, it is mid-morning, though it's hard to tell with the omnipresent clouds above. Rolling hills and fallow farmlands stretch out in all directions. We take the eastern road, our horses plodding relentlessly toward the Emberwood and the wastelands beyond. As we enter the heartlands, conversations begin to pick up. Everyone seems to be relieved to finally be out of the tunnel. The fact that we're now outside even puts our animals at ease. The wastelanders seem to handle themselves well riding the horses, even though each looks a little unnerved
as they attempt to stay close to Owen. I faintly smile as I regard them, remembering a time when I too felt uneasy about riding horses. That feels like a lifetime ago, I muse quietly, brushing a lock of hair out of my face. So much has happened since those days. While we ride, a pair of mages pulls up beside me. They're sisters, identical twins, named Sierra and Kaylee. From what I've gathered, they're some of the most powerful artificers in the Conclave, if a little bit eccentric. What exactly happened to the demons when the crystal exploded? The question comes from Kaylee. Like her sister, she has angular features, downturned lips, and round hazel eyes. Her hair is bound beneath a scarf on her head. Did it kill them instantly, or in a matter of minutes? Instantly, I reply. There was a red flash, and the demons were all turned to dust. Fascinating, Sierra says, drawing my attention away from her sister. And what of the blast radius? How far did this explosion extend, and what effect did it have on the surrounding land, the flora and the fauna? None that I could tell, I answer, frowning as I attempt to remember the details. I wasn't really in a place to measure the exact radius, Magus. Try, please, she presses. I'm curious to know if this source crystal you're leading us to will be sufficient enough to eliminate the Prince of Darkness and his army. I believe it will, I answer confidently. With my talisman, I was able to destroy an entire village of demons. With a source crystal comparable to the Heart of Light, the explosion should be magnified 1,000-fold. I'd feel much more comfortable with exact measurements, Kaylee sniffs. I don't like wagering the fate of the world on approximations, young seeker. We know the spell works, I reply coolly. That's a start, at least. As for measurements, that's why we have you here, Magus. Your expertise will ensure that our mission is a success. I'm annoyed by her tone, but I keep a pleasant expression plastered on my face. She gives me a thin smile, as if wondering whether I'm being genuine.
I'm more curious about your escape plan, Vargas says, pulling up to ride close to us. Have you considered how we're going to set this thing off without killing all of us? It seems to me that you've put a great deal of thought into getting us there, but not so much into getting us back home.
The Magister was chosen to leave his place on the Circle to help with our mission, a fact that irks him and me both. Vargas may be a powerful mage, but he's also been one of the loudest critics of this mission, complaining nearly every step of the journey so far. Why on Behalia did High Magus Roth decide to send him with us? Surely there were better candidates. Turning in my saddle, I give him a suffering look. Successfully completing the mission is my primary concern, Magister. Or have you forgotten the stakes we're dealing with? Saving my own skin is the last thing on my mind. He harrumphs, anger entering his bearded visage. The sisters share a surprised look at my response, eyebrows shooting up.
Don't lecture me on the supposed heroics of this fool mission girl. You may be seeker to a dead High Magus, but I'm still a member of the Circle. Show a little respect.
Apologies, I reply, maintaining my cordial facade. I would never intentionally disrespect a magister. But the fact remains, this spell is the only chance we have at defeating the R'hllar and saving the kingdom from certain destruction. My plan isn't perfect, but we have plenty of time to work out the details along the way. I pause, giving each of the surrounding mages a meaningful look. I have the utmost faith in your abilities. This seems to quell their concerns, if only minutely. Magister Vargas still looks like he's swallowed sour grapes, but he offers no retort. Sulk, for all I care. This is our mission now. I can't be the only one expected to contribute.
Zara, Owen calls a moment later, bringing his horse to a canter beside our group. May I speak with you a moment, alone?
I nod, pulling away to ride beside him. What is it?
I ask, once we're out of earshot.
Nothing really, he replies, a small grin splitting his face.
Just thought you could use a break from those scheming mages.
I can't help but chuckle. Those mages are my colleagues, I remind him. But thank you. I really did need a break.
He winks and looks ahead, a gentle breeze ruffling his unruly hair.
Light, I love him, I think, watching him fondly. He knows me better than anyone else on this world. I wish we were truly alone together, like we were in the wastes, minus the fear and the lack of hygiene. I think back to that night when the two of us had gotten drunk on Kurza. I remember the dancing, our bodies moving in time with the music, and afterward, almost letting go of all our inhibitions. The more my mind starts to wander, the more I silently wish for another night of reckless passion. Owen looks back, and upon seeing me daydreaming, asks,
What are you thinking about?
I shake my head, feeling my cheeks grow hot as I try to clear away the scandalous thoughts. Nothing, I reply quickly. Just wondering about what we're going to eat for dinner.
Nice save, Zara.
Owen raises an eyebrow, then glances over at his saddlebags.
Well, judging by our last couple of meals, I'd say you have a choice between dried venison, dried fruit, or dried crusty bread. A delicious feast, if your jaw is up to the task of chewing it.
I let out an embarrassing snort, causing Owen to burst into laughter. This only makes me laugh harder. As our voices carry over the hard-packed road, I can practically feel the unapproving eyes of the mages on our backs. There was a time when their approval was all I cared about. Now, I just want to enjoy this time with Owen. I could care less what they think of me. It's kind of freeing in a way.
We spend the next hours chatting about small things. The food we miss, the places we want to travel to when the war is over, the things we want to accomplish before we grow old and boring. We forget about the battle that's no doubt already raging in Tarsus, and simply delight in our mutual company. As the afternoon sun begins its final descent, though, I actually do start thinking about supper, my eyes wandering away from the attractive ranger boy and toward the western horizon. Far ahead, I can see movement coming from what looks like a small village up the road. Tiny figures run about the fields like wolves in the distance, and in the sky, black shapes like vultures circle menacingly. Immediately I comprehend what I'm seeing.
Look! I shout, pointing to the distant shapes. Dark hounds and black wings!
Hells! Owen curses, noticing the movement as well. Must be a scouting group that broke away from the main army. Good eyes, Zara.
Why are they circling that village?
One of the mages asks in confusion behind us. The realization hits me like a blast of radiant magic.
People must still be living there, I exclaim, urging my horse toward the village. We have to help them.
Behind me, I can hear Owen's horse galloping faster as well.
You heard the seeker, he shouts, rushing to keep up with me. Come on! Those people need us!
As a group, we begin to ride hard for the village, drawing the attention of the demons. The closer we get, the more distinct the shapes become. Vicious, red-eyed dark hounds turn to regard us, the black wings flapping in wide circles and screeching as we draw near. I can also make out the shapes of villagers, scrambling to defend their homes from the demonic invaders. Only a dozen or so, I think, touching my talisman for reassurance. Hopefully we can make short work of this. Just as the dark hounds begin charging, source energy floods my veins. and mage fire fills my hand.